Could you use a little more wisdom in your marriage, at work, with regards to your finances or associations? I think we can all answer yes to that one. Next on The Balanced Word, that's just what we'll find as we begin a series in Proverbs.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
So good to have you along with us today, and welcome to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rall. Today we begin a new study we're calling Smarter Living. It's based in Proverbs. The theme throughout this book is wisdom, and we'll learn how to apply it to our lives, which will lead us to smarter living. King Solomon wrote these beautiful and challenging words, and I know you'll be blessed as we make our way through this series. We'll begin with an introduction. Here's Pastor Dave.
Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, the first chapter. Now, we aren't going to go just straight through the Proverbs, but we'll be spending time this morning in Proverbs 1, 2, and 3 primarily. And then each week we're going to extract, you know, certain topics that Proverbs talks about, because it's bits and pieces from all over. And we'll focus on, you know, one week on things like money and another week on things like friends and anger and laziness and all sorts of topics that Proverbs addresses. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, the son of David, the guy who became king after David. He was also the son of Bathsheba, who was really David's kind of favorite wife. And the backstory on where Proverbs came from, David had, when Solomon was growing up as a kid, David had just drilled into him that the most important thing is wisdom. That if you can get wisdom, with all you're getting, get wisdom. You can see it in Proverbs chapter 4, where they have this indoctrination, where he's just saying, look, that's more important than anything else, get wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take the information, the data that you have, and to be able to turn it into something that you can apply to your life. Wisdom is the ability to make the right moves, the right decisions, and so on, know what to do. And so David had always told Solomon that. Well, over in 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon had become king and he was beginning to build the temple, he went and made a lot of sacrifices, 1,000 sacrifices at one point, and God came to him. And he said to him, Solomon, what do you want? He was making these sacrifices. He goes, ask me for anything. What do you want? And Solomon remembered what his dad had told him. The reason God was giving him this wish is because God had this special relationship with his dad, David, the one who was called a man after God's heart. So Solomon knew what to answer right away. It wasn't like us if somebody said, I'll give you 3 wishes. I know the third one is 3 more wishes. He probably could have asked for that, but no, he knew. I know the answer to this because my dad told me, and it is, I want wisdom. God, give me wisdom to know how to lead these people, to know how to live my life. And so God said to him, somebody gave you the answer already. That's perfect. I am very impressed. And Solomon's probably thinking, man, thanks, Dad. God said, I will give you more wisdom than anyone ever had before you, and I will give you more wisdom than anyone will ever have after you. But because you ask for the right thing, you didn't ask for power, you didn't ask for money, you didn't ask for prestige, because you ask for wisdom instead, I'm going to give you those other things as well. I'll make you richer than anyone, more powerful than anyone. I will cause you to have the whole world look up to you because you ask for wisdom. And it goes on to tell us there in 1 Kings that he impressed the world with his wisdom. He was just amazing what he knew. And part of what he did is he was creative. So he wrote 1,005 songs, it says. I don't know if you've ever tried to write a song, But writing 1,005 of them, that's up there in like Bob Dylan territory. Not many people could write 1,005 songs, but he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Proverbs are little pithy sayings that you hear it, you can understand it. It's just one little statement and you go, whoa, that is amazing. That's so true and you can remember it. He wrote 3,000 of them. Pastor Chuck used to say, I don't know if you've ever tried to write even one proverb, but Chuck said, in my whole life, I've written two proverbs. Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken. And what you strive to gain, you'll strive to maintain. I thought, those are pretty good ones. And years later, I found out that actually those were written long before Chuck was even alive. He thought he made them up, but he really didn't. You know, I wrote one proverb this week just to show you how hard it is to do it. My proverb is this: if you say something that's wise, it's not original. And if you say something that's original, it's not wise. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever said that before and it's wise, or if no one's ever said that before and it's stupid. But it illustrates the fact that if somebody can write 3,000 proverbs, and then what we have here in the book of Proverbs is his greatest hits, like his 300-400 greatest proverbs, it's amazing. Why should we care? Well, really, this book is about wisdom. It's called wisdom literature. Because if we read this book and understand it, we will have wisdom. The result of that is we have the potential to bring about improvement and growth in our lives. I don't know about you, but I would like the next year to be better. Some of you are going, please, I hope it's better. But others of us are going, this was a good year. But if I didn't believe that I could actually grow and be better, if I didn't believe that we can do better as people, as a church, as a nation, then I would lose all hope. I would just feel like, oh, here it is. And a lot of times, as people get older, they start to think the better days were way back then. You know, maybe all that was really needed to be learned could have been learned on Leave It to Beaver. And, you know, that was the wisdom of the world. Or looking back and saying, maybe it is all about just the hokey pokey, you know. And that's what was, you know, it says that's what it's all about. But this is too young of an audience. The trouble with my cultural references is young people have no clue what I'm saying, and old people can't remember them. So, but there's no reason to keep going if we can't actually do life better than what we're doing. And what wisdom says is that we can do better. That our lives are a conglomeration of right choices that we make, creating good things, and then even when things are out of our control, as they affect us, we are able to make the best choice according to the choices that are available to us, thus creating the best life that we can have. So certainly, if anyone wants to have a better life, wisdom is the place to start, because it's just not only knowing information, but knowing what to do with that information. And so looking at the book of Proverbs is a great privilege, and we should expect it to be really transforming. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. But Proverbs, this is all about what you understand and what you do with it. You can know a lot of things. I mean, Solomon, you read in here, you go, wow, he was so wise. And then he married 700 women and had 300 concubines. And you're like, really? Well, he knew better. He even told you not to do what he did. So for all of us, we have to decide, do we know what to do and then do it? Because that's really what wisdom is. Now, in chapter 1, there's a section here that we'll read. And really what it says right off the bat about wisdom is it's not as tricky or difficult or hidden as you might think. It's kind of obvious. It's right in front of you. Look, beginning with verse 20, Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity or love being stupid? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. But he goes on and says, but you wouldn't do it. And so in verse 28, then at that point, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. See, wisdom is crying out everywhere. It's right under our nose. Most everything we read in this book is like, duh, that seems so obvious. It's there. But if we refuse to follow wisdom, if we decide not to put it into practice, we go, I don't want to hear it. Eventually, we won't be able to hear it anymore. We will lose our capacity to find wisdom. But it's in the obvious places. Like he says, it's screaming out at you. Wisdom shouts from nature. The scriptures tell us that the heavens declare God's glory and the firmament shows his handiwork. When you just look at nature, you can learn so much about life. You can learn how precious life is, but you can also learn about the cycles of life that, you know, there's a limited amount of time that each person has to exist, to live here on this earth. It's the same with animals and plants and everything else. When you look at creation, you see the intricacies, you see the delicacy, you see the extravagant creativity and beauty that God put within it. And nature just has a ton of lessons for us to learn. And it's just right there. And yet we just walk right by a tree or an animal or a blue sky or cloudy sky or something like that. And we don't even pay attention to it. And it's like, he's going, hey, wisdom is here. There are things you can learn from this, but you don't. There's also wisdom in the middle of our experiences. Everything I do, when I see how it works out, there's a lesson. There's wisdom. And yet, for so many of us, we just keep doing the same stupid things that got us into the mess that we're in already. You know, Einstein supposedly said that insanity is when you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. Well, if you don't like the way your life is, don't keep doing what you've been doing, or obviously, your life is going to continue this way. If you look at your body and go, oh, how did I get so fat? It might have something. I know you're the exception where it's just a glandular thing and you only eat salads, but for everybody else in the world, no, we got the way we are by eating the things that we eat. So, duh, if we're going to have wisdom, we go, yeah, if I don't want to be in this condition of health, then I need to change what I put into my body and what I do with my body. Clear. Now, if you're in debt, you can look at your life and go, how did I get like this? How did this happen? What could I have done differently that might have changed that? But you can also learn, wisdom is crying out even better from people that you know, from other people that you see. Because I'm sort of blind to my own faults a lot of times. But what if I just looked at people and looked for people who I said, I want to have more of what they have in my life? And so I began to evaluate and scrutinize, what is it that they have? What is it that they do that has produced the kind of results that they have? The lessons are there. Wisdom is crying out. It's an opportunity for us to learn all over the place with everyone. I personally love reading literature that people like. Popular literature and especially timeless literature, where if there's a book that somebody wrote 400 years ago or 1,000 years ago and people are still reading it, it must tell you something that's worth knowing. And so I appreciate it, even though I may not believe all of it. I understand there's a place where people itch, where this scratches. Same thing with really popular advertising or, you know, really churches that are just massive, even if they're a cult. To look at, okay, what are the needs that people have that this is actually meeting that need? There's wisdom there. There are things I can learn. By far, the greatest source of wisdom, though, is this book, the Bible. It's every word of it is breathed by God. And yet, as Solomon says here, you know, of wisdom, it's screaming out at us. So probably almost all of you have a Bible. If you don't, come into the office, they'll give you one. But the Bible sits there. Wisdom is inside the Bible going, hey, let me out. I'm wisdom. And you're like, I hear something coming from that book. I'm gonna turn up Apple Music so I don't hear it crying out at me. Do you read it? You may have multiple copies of it. You may have apps on your phone and on your iPad that when you, you know, after a year of having the app, you open it up and it's giving you the screen of the new app that you've never used before. Wisdom is like going, would you just pay attention? I'm here. And yet for so many of us, we say, oh, I really want wisdom. I really need to know what to do. I have decisions that I need to make. And wisdom is like, excuse me, do you realize I'm right under your nose? I am right here. I am available for you in every aspect of your lives. Wisdom pervades it. And yet, the ironic thing is, even though wisdom is obvious and it's ever present because God is ever present, in chapter 2, we see you're supposed to seek it. You're supposed to look for it. Isn't that weird? It's everywhere, but you need to look for it. Because there's still a lot of other stuff everywhere, too. You have to kind of sift through a lot of other things that aren't wisdom in order to get the wisdom that's right under your nose. Look at in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly, and so on. But look in those words, how many things are there to say, here's what you need to do to find wisdom. In verse 1, it says, if you receive my words. So the very first condition is, are you receptive? Are you ready to actually hear? Are you open to what God might want to say? How receptive are you? For so many people, and I get this a lot of times when people call up and they want advice. And there are some people that I can tell, they're going to ask for advice, I'm going to give it to them, and they are not going to take my advice. And they really are hoping to find somebody who agrees with them. That's why they're asking for counsel. So the way to receive wisdom first is to be open to it. If you're not open to doing things differently, if you're just insistent, I'm pretty much just going to, I am who I am, I'm going to do what I do, but yeah, I'd like wisdom so I'll know all the new ways that I'm messing up. Hey, wisdom is found by people who are receptive to it, who are willing to receive it. And so before you look for wisdom even, just ask yourself, so am I open to do anything? If there are different choices that are laid out, am I even open at all? Because the people who get wisdom are the ones who are open, the ones who are receptive, who are like, you tell me anything and I'll try it, I'll do it. So if you receive my words, then you treasure my commands within you. That is, do you value what God says? This kind of lines up with being receptive, but it takes it a step further. How important is it to you that you do things in the best way possible? How much does a quality of life even mean to you? Because when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about a quality of life, creating a kind of life that has value. So is that something that even matters to you? Is that something you, have you ever done anything the best that you could do it? Because if you haven't, chances are you haven't even decided yet that I want to do the best I can, that I want to make the best choices possible. So don't bother looking for wisdom if, in fact, half of the things that might be wisdom, you've already eliminated as a possibility for your life. Treasure my commands within you. so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Do you listen? Incline your ear. It's so much easier to talk to God than it is to listen to him, because so often, for one thing, I already think I know what he's going to say, just like when you're in a conversation with people and they utter the first few words and you're like, I already have my answer to that. I know what you're saying. And we act like, oh, we even complete each other's sentences as if that's a good thing. What that means is, no, I know better than you do. You don't need to talk to me. A lot of us do that with God. When we go to get God's wisdom, to receive from him how we should be conducting our lives, are we open to even listening to him? And it's frustrating to listen to God because you won't hear from him right away. I'll go out and get somewhere in a nice, beautiful setting, and I'll just go, God, I really need to hear from you now, like in 10 minutes, I need to hear from you. And God just is kind of like, now, why don't you just listen for a while? And I'll hear other things. And as the other things kind of die down and as the thoughts that are racing through my head sort of get filtered out, quite often he just likes me to have an uncomfortable silence before I actually hear from him. Because like in the story of Elijah, when, you know, after calling fire from heaven on the prophets of Baal and all that, then he ran up and hid in a cave and wanted to die because Jezebel was threatening to kill him. And he, like, wanted to hear from God. He's arguing with God. God, I'm the only one that's left, and now they want to kill me. And he's listening. And there's an earthquake, and there's wind, and there's fire. And God wasn't in any of those. Finally, it settled down. And he heard a whisper. See, God usually wants to whisper to us. He doesn't want to try to outshout all the other noise. And so a lot of times, it's about us just absorbing all the noise. And then his whisper will come kicking in afterwards. You'll never have God's wisdom unless you're willing to listen for the whisper. Unless you're willing to listen to the subtle. Because there are a lot of people who are yelling at you and telling you that they're speaking for God. You'll know God's voice because it's subtle. It doesn't come when you want it. It comes when he wants it. And it's soft and clear. And so to get wisdom, you know, it's there, but you're going to miss it if you won't wait and actually listen for it. And as he says, to put your heart, apply your heart to understanding there in the end of verse 2. Do you really have a heart for it? Is there... And part of this goes to, do you want to do what he wants you to do? Do you even want to be the best you can be? Do you really want to fulfill everything that your life can be? Do you have that in your heart? Because if you don't, it's not going to happen in your attitudes. That's why people make, you know, resolutions at the beginning of the year.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. If you're lacking wisdom, all you need to do is ask for it from the Lord. Here's Pastor Dave to wrap things up.
Is your heart there to make your life something different than it is right now? because you're not even going to find the wisdom if it's just another thing that you reject God for, to apply your heart. And he goes on, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, see, you have to ask. God's not just going to automatically give you wisdom. He wants us to ask. In the book of James, James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask of God. He gives it generously. He'll pour it out on you. But you need to ask. He wants us to ask.
Our introduction to the book of Proverbs continues tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.